Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. My name is Bob. As usual, we'll be going till from 7:30 till 9 today, but I'm starting off the show with an interview with a member of a bunch of soul groups, Wayne Redis, who is up in the studio right now. You want to say hi?
Hi, Chicago, everyone.
Okay, so Wayne, the main group that he was in was called The Original Breed.
Mm-hmm.
But you were in a few groups, and you wrote at least one song for one other group. And I guess we'll just go over your history right now.
Okay.
So the main record you did by The Original Breed, it was called I Am Somebody.
Right.
And that came out, I guess, late 60s.
Yeah, about 69.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But by then you were already older, right? You had finished high school a while ago.
Yeah.
Like a lot of groups I talked to, they're high school groups.
Mm-hmm.
But you had sang for a while before that, right?
Right. I'd sung in groups just around school for fun.
Okay, so what?
I was getting serious about it at this point.
What part of Chicago were you from and what school did you go to?
From the south side of Chicago. I went to the William W. Carter Elementary School, and I went to Tilden Tech High School and Southeast Junior College.
Okay. So when did you graduate from high school?
I graduated from high school in 1962.
Okay. Were you singing any groups back then?
Just groups around school for fun, but nothing, you know, just for fun.
Okay.
You know.
And then you told me that you were with a group after school that actually was on an Oscar Brown Jr. record, is that
right?
Yeah,
after I started at Southeast Junior College, it was a group that we formed in Morgan Park. And we met a gentleman named Floyd Morris Jr., who was at that time a pianist and arranger for Oscar Brown Jr. He became our manager, and we actually got a chance to record behind Oscar down at Universal Studios on Rush Street.
Okay.
Back in 64, and it was the first session, I do believe, that Curtis Mayfield ever engineered.
Okay, so that was in 1964. So
mm-hmm.
you're actually, so what was the name of your group?
The name of the group back then, believe it or not, was The Voices.
Okay.
Very simple.
So who were the members of that group?
There was Fred and Vincent Rogers and their cousin Larry and myself.
Okay. You don't know what happened to any of them?
I haven't seen those guys in so many years. I'd love to know, but I haven't seen them for, geez.
Okay.
So many years.
So that was around 1964. And
right.
I know it came out, but you sang on an Oscar Brown Jr. album that probably came out around 1964.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And
we backgrounded him 5 nights at the old Club de Lisa, which had been subsequently the Burning Spear, and then at that time when we performed there, it was called The Club.
Okay.
And Purvis Spann and E. Rodney Jones ran it back then.
So how did you get hooked up with like a manager, and how did that group form, do you remember?
Because Floyd lived in the neighborhood where the fellas and I were rehearsing, he heard about us. He asked us to sing, and he liked what he heard and decided to manage us.
So you were just a bunch of guys that sang together while you were in junior college?
Yeah, and hoping something would happen.
Were they in school with you?
No, we went to different schools.
Okay.
In fact, I was always the one that had to come, you know, the farthest, because I lived on 84th in Indiana, and they lived out there, so I'd always have to, wait for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then what happened between, like I know about your group, The Original Breed, that recorded in the late 60s, what happened mm-hmm. in between that time?
Between 69 and 75.
Well, what happened between like 64 and 69?
Oh, not a whole lot. Sang with some other groups, did no recording, did kind of amateurish stuff, you know. We used to have challenges in parks where we'd go sing against other groups and stuff like that, but nothing professional.
But that was
even 69.
But you were all done with school back then, and you were just working at the time, but you
right.
were just kind of singing on the side.
Exactly.
So then in 69, you formed the first group that, well, I guess your other group had recorded too, but the first group that recorded as themselves.
Yes, it was Original Breed.
So how did you form that group?
Through mutual friends, I met a gentleman named Jimmy Short.
Okay.
And he had a buddy named Ralph Johnson who wrote a song back in the day called Mother's Son.
Yeah, that was the Debonairs was his group.
Yeah,
he was from Ardell Gardens. He sang with a bunch
exactly.
of other groups too.
Yeah. And so we hooked up and started singing and met Clarence Johnson and Subsequently, he became our manager, and we recorded.
Okay. So who were the members of the original Breed again?
It was Ralph Johnson, James Short, and myself.
And what part did each person sing?
Jimmy sang tenor, Ralph sang baritone, and I sang second tenor.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play the first record you did, the I Am Somebody, and then we can talk more about the specific record.
Okay.
So this is the original Breed from 1969. This track is called I Am Somebody. Okay, that was just the original Breed with I Am Somebody.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking right here to Wayne Reedus, member of the group. So that record came out in 1969 mm-hmm. on one of Clarence Johnson's labels, right?
Yes.
So one thing about that song is obviously it's like a conscious, like political
oh, yeah.
type song.
Definitely.
So what was the story behind that?
Well, it was the atmosphere of the day. Civil rights was in full thrust, and we were trying to come up with something that would touch people. And I got the idea. I think I wrote this song in 15 minutes.
Okay.
It just came.
But Jesse Jackson had the famous I Am Somebody, right?
Yeah. And subsequently, they stopped playing ours because he was a much more prominent personality. And it's kind of sad in a way because the record was doing well.
So pretty much your record came out first before
yeah.
before
yeah.
Jesse Jackson has I Am Somebody.
Right. He recorded his album on Stack Volt. And when it came out, ours was pulled.
Okay, that's too bad.
That's the game.
So you knew it was where was it getting played? Do you know?
Here in Chicago and in some parts of Indiana, and in fact, I heard the other side was pretty popular in Indiana, especially Gary. So
okay.
that was the feedback I got from people I knew who lived there. So
yeah, I know Richard Pegues had put out an I Am Somebody record on one of his groups called The Brothers and Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So on the record, he gave Jesse Jackson full writing credits on the record because he didn't want it to get pulled.
Exactly.
So it was kind of sad end to the first record in that, like, politics ended up cutting it off.
An introduction to life, so to speak.
So then the B-side of the record is nice, too, which is called The Prophet.
Yeah.
And on this song, well, I'll just play the record and we can talk some more about it.
Okay.
So this is the original Breed with the B-side of I Am Somebody. This is called The Prophet. Okay, that was just the original Breed with the B-side of I Am Somebody. That was called The Prophet. And Wayne Reedus, member of the group, is up in here now talking about his records. So that record, actually, you wrote that record too, right?
Yeah.
And you're singing lead and you do the monologue
right on
that record. So in the record, you're talking about 23 years of sadness at the beginning, but you're actually much older, or you were older than that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was, but I don't know why the 23 just seemed right.
Okay, how old were you when that came out?
69, I was 25.
Okay, well, not much older.
Not much older.
Yeah. So I guess what's the story of that group? That group broke up or sort of morphed into another group? Like, what happened?
Well, first of all, Ralph had some physical problems, and not too long after the record was released, he passed away.
Okay.
And sad to say, I lost Jimmy also in 81. So the group, Jimmy and I continue to sing with a couple of other gentlemen, a gentleman named Paul Barnes and a gentleman named Lamar Greer, and we subsequently became the People's Choice.
Okay, so there were four members in the People's Choice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Paul Barnes, wasn't he one of the new concepts? No, I'm getting confused. No. George. Okay. So, no, what? I think he was one of the new concepts.
Wait a minute. Maybe he was. Well, that was when he was singing with Frank. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Barnes. So was he one of the new concepts when he was singing after he was singing? Like, were you the People's Choice after the new concepts?
I believe
broke
it was
up?
After. Yes, it was after.
Okay, so the new concept broke up, and Paul Barnes had joined your group along with Lamar Greer.
Right.
Okay, so the group just, you just needed a replacement after Ralph passed away, is that what happened?
Yeah,
so, and
because Jimmy and I continued to love to sing, and we were sad to lose Ralph, but we wanted to keep, you know, keep trying.
So how did you get in contact with Paul and Lamar?
Just through word of mouth. Back then, groups interchanged personnel so fast and so often, it's almost hard to remember. There would be auditions sometimes. Sometimes it would just be one guy knows another guy who sings, and this group is looking for somebody, and the word's passed, and we're put in contact, and it works.
Okay. So what about the group name? Actually, I never asked you, how'd you come up with the name The Original Breed the first time?
I don't know why, but it just sounded like a good name. I came up with that one.
Okay. And then why'd you change your name to the People's Choice? Just because of membership?
Because it was a different group, yeah.
Okay.
And it was kind of sad to think, you know, with the original breed, or, you know, one of the guys is gone. So
okay,
we just changed it and came up with the People's Choice.
Okay.
Actually, I do believe that Eddie Sullivan came up with that idea, if memory serves me right, because he was my manager back then, our manager back then.
Yeah, he produced that record.
He produced that record, too. And I believe it was his inspiration to call us the People's Choice.
Which, yeah. Unfortunately,
cobwebs are clearing
yeah,
now.
Unfortunately, ended up being used by a much more famous group from Philly later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when that record came out, you were like, hey, that was our name.
Yeah, and you had to be careful back then, because one of the first things we eventually learned is that you have to copyright your name.
Yeah.
And if you don't, there are so many groups in so many cities across the country, your group is bound to be duplicated somewhere.
Yeah, well, locally, yeah, you have no idea.
You right, know. You don't have a clue.
I don't think there was another original breed, though.
I don't think so. I never heard of one, if there was.
Okay, so what happened was, you had the two additional members. So the original breed was Wayne Reedus.
Ralph Johnson.
The People's Choice was
People's Choice
was Wayne Reedus,
right.
Jimmy Short,
Paul Barnes, and Lamar Greer.
Okay, so then this record came out what in like 71 around that time.
I think it was more a little later than that, maybe between 73 and 75 in that area.
Okay, and Eddie Sullivan produced the record,
mm-hmm.
and it came out on a label, which is probably, I don't know, him or Clarence Johnson still, probably.
I think so, yes. It was one of Clarence's labels.
Okay, and this record, there were two sides. Both sides are really good. One side is called Run to Me, and the other side is called You're Mine. You don't remember mm-hmm. what the intended A side was, do you?
I do believe Run to Me was the intended A side.
Okay, well, I'll play that record, and we'll talk a little bit more. This is The People's Choice with Run to Me.
Then run.
Okay, that was just the People's Choice with Run to Me, which, again, evolved out of the original Breed. And I got Wayne Reedus up in here talking about his group. And actually, someone just called John, who was in a group called the Marlins, and he said he sang with Paul Barnes earlier, even before the New Concepts. He said that Paul went to Hirsch High School and sang with him. So anyways, that was just, like I said, that was a people's choice with Run to Me. Mm-hmm. And that record, did it get any play? Do you remember hearing on the radio?
Very little.
Okay.
Very little.
So then, but both sides of the record were pretty good.
Yeah.
So did you ever do any shows when you were either the Original Breed or the People's Choice?
We would do shows every now and then. We'd do something for maybe Herb Kent or something like that. You know,
like a record hop or something?
A record hop back then.
But you don't remember ever doing like a club or anything?
Let me see. Yeah, we did a few gigs. We did some gigs on the South Side on 79th Street. We did some gigs, some of those clubs on Halsted Street. Not a whole lot of performing.
Okay.
You know, not as much as we wished we'd had.
But you don't know why. That was a pretty good record. You don't know why you couldn't get play.
It just didn't get pushed.
Okay. Well, I'll play the B-side of the record, and then we could talk a little bit more. This is The People's Choice, again, with Your Mind. Okay, we're back in the studio, up in here talking to Wayne Reedus, member of the groups The Original Breed and The People's Choice. So I guess that was just the B-side of the People's Choice record. That track was called You're Mine.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened after that record came out? I guess it didn't really get play.
It didn't get pushed and played the way it should, so it didn't take off.
Okay.
And we continued to sing, but we lost a couple of members and gained a couple more.
Okay.
And actually changed our names again, but we were still affiliated with Clarence.
Okay.
And we lost Jimmy, and we lost Paul.
Do you know what they went on to do?
Not really.
Okay.
I know Jimmy passed, I think it was 81.
Okay.
And Lamar, I haven't heard from in so many years. I have no clue.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, Jimmy passed in 89. That's right.
Oh, okay.
And then we formed the second foundation, which was me and Frank Clark and a gentleman named Lawrence Bibbs and another guy named Burl Bynum. I think you've talked to them before.
Yeah, they were both in the Vowels.
In the Vowels, right.
Talked to Frank Clark a few weeks ago. He was in the New Concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you see how much interchange there was back in those days.
Yeah.
Group-wise, personnel-wise, it was almost constant.
So then the second foundation actually, I talked about this in the other two interviews, but they were the group, they're actually doing some like filling backing vocals on the Brighter Side of Darkness records, right?
Right. Some of the backgrounds gave them difficulty. So since we were both under the same umbrella with Clarence, we just were asked to step in and do that stuff, and we did.
Okay. So, but you never got credited on the record
or
anything?
No.
So you never actually recorded anything as the Second Foundation except...
No, we didn't.
Okay.
No, we didn't. Just that backgrounding for the Brighter Side of Darkness. That was it.
Okay. And then what happened after that? You continued to sing after that even though you didn't record?
Continued to sing off and on and ended up in a group with, still with Frank Clark, because he and I have been buds for years. With a gentleman named George Parnell and his wife Jean.
Yeah, George was in the New Concepts with Frank,
right?
Also, yeah.
So you know, like I said, you see how it just keeps evolving.
Yeah.
Groups are in and out. People are in and out of different groups.
So you were in a group called Sweet Mood.
Yeah, we did a lot of gigging around the city, and a few gigs out of town, but we never recorded.
Okay, and I heard Eddie Sullivan was your manager. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so you continued to be affiliated with them.
Yeah.
I guess by then it was...
And Eddie had quite a career, too.
The classic Sullivans,
yeah. He was doing a lot of stuff, too.
Well, he goes back to the doo-wop era. He was in a doo-wop group even before.
Yeah.
So so pretty much, and that was a bad time because by 75, all the Chicago recording industry was dying off, so...
It really was.
You wouldn't get much of a chance to record at that time.
Yeah. And there's so much talent in the city, it was sad.
Yeah. Like I know a few groups managed to record in other cities, but
yeah.
I think most people just quit, you know.
Most people figured if you were going to get over, you had to get out of Chicago.
Okay.
And that's sad because the town is just crammed with talent.
Yeah. And one other thing that you did besides those groups is you actually wrote one song for another group, right?
Yeah, it's called a song called Promises.
Okay.
And that was when I was affiliated with a lady named Ruth Moore on the West Side, who spawned so many groups like the Vowels.
Yeah, she managed a ton of groups.
Just so many. Oh, God, yeah, so many. She's like an icon.
So Promises was the B-side of Him and Her first record, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first record was I Can't Seem to Forget You.
Right.
And then Promises was the flip. And actually, it's an excellent record. I stupidly forgot to bring it today.
Yeah,
I would have played it, but it was a real nice record. And you were telling me that they brought the music to you. And
Ruth brought the music to me, and I wrote the lyrics.
Okay. So you never had any, like, formal music training, though?
No.
Okay.
I love to play with words, and I have a good ear.
Okay.
But I never had any formal musical training.
Okay, so what did you do after that? That was, like, mid-70s?
Basically, literally shut down in the sense that I just... continued to do my 8-to-5.
Okay.
And didn't really push it or pursue it.
Okay.
But the funny thing is now that I'm older, I will definitely be thinking about getting back into it again because I've had the longings.
Okay.
You know, and I'm in a position to go back into it now because I'm semi-retired, so.
Okay, yeah.
I've got the time.
Yeah, I hope something comes of it. If anything happens, I'll let the listeners know.
I would really appreciate it.
Okay, well, I guess I'll play, now that I guess... we're almost out of time. I'll play one of the Brighter Side of Darkness songs that your group, the Second Foundation, sang on.
Okay.
And if any listeners have any questions, they can call up here at 773-702-8424. And I guess any final words for Chicago or the listening audience?
Beautiful place to grow up, beautiful place for music, and keep listening to the oldies because that was when it was really good.
Okay, well, thanks again for coming up.
My pleasure.
And this last record is The Brighter Side of Darkness, but with the Second Foundation backing them. And this is called I Owe You Love.